Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to MetaMusings, everyone. I'm your host, Misty Garcia, and I am joined tonight with Sarah Exley. We will be talking about conscious parenting and what that is and how it can help you and your child. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about childhood meditation and maybe some different ways that you can start one with your child as well. So I would like to welcome Sarah to the podcast. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Misty. I am so good. I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for joining me. I'm really, really honored, and I'm so glad that you could come tonight, and I'm really excited about this topic. And I would love to, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Yeah, of course. So I am a conscious parenting mentor. Most recently I've begun calling myself a conscious mama mentor because that's pretty much how it works. So what I do specifically is I guide people, like women, moms especially, who are interested, like they feel that calling that there's more to parenting than, you know, just kind of producing, you know, these little people, but that there's a healing process, there's a spiritual growth process that's inherent to this relationship. And so I kind of just help guide them through that process of transformation. So a lot of times that involves a lot of things. It's like we could literally just talk for 30 minutes about this, you know, defining what this means, right? So this means letting go of the way they were parented, letting go of default patterns, like default numbing mechanisms that they have picked up or adapted to from their own childhood. So it's a lot of that type of stuff, like just really untangling and unraveling, like what are the limiting beliefs that we learned were true for us to help us kind of survive, you know, throughout life. And a lot of times when we bring a child into the world, it's like that child comes forth with such a powerful alignment and such a powerful authenticity. And what we kind of discover is like those numbing mechanisms, those default patterns, they aren't going to work. They're not going to fly with this little amazing being. And so so that's kind of what I help parents sort out and transform and kind of go through, if that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. And I find it absolutely fascinating. And I think that it's so needed now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of us are coming to this point where we do need to start learning how to break those generational patterns. We're the generation that we're breaking those patterns to help build a better future, you know? Definitely.
Yes, I totally agree. I think that our generation is in a very unique position. I think that we are all kind of being called in this powerful direction like none other. I mean, I hear parents all the time say, you know, I just want to do it better than my parents did. And that's usually where it begins for many, many people. And it's really exciting. And there's so much to explore there. Yeah, it's
absolutely
exciting.
Absolutely. Now, how did you discover that this was kind of like your niche, your calling to help people do this?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I don't know if there was like one defining moment. I know that when I was a child, I can remember so many moments when like I really just wanted to help my parents understand, like, you know, that a lot of the things that they were experiencing with me was like self-fulfilling prophecy on their end. And I didn't,
yes.
I had no way to explain that to them, but that's mm-hmm. what I saw happening a lot of times. And mm-hmm. I think we all kind of come forth with this, you know, we're so close to spirit when we first get here, and, you know, the illusion kind of takes over, right? But
yes.
it's a lot. It's a powerful energy to come through with, and yet there's this developmental process. Like, we can't articulate in words, right, what we feel as children a lot of times. But that's sort of, I've always kind of just felt a deep connection with this process. I've always been fascinated by children. I've always felt, you know, drawn, and I feel like I kind of get them and they get me, and they always feel very drawn
yeah.
to me. So I thought I was going to be an elementary teacher for a number of years, but what I eventually just kind of realized I really want to help the parents. Like, I want to help. I really want to work with them. And so I don't know if there was a defining moment, but there were so many things that kind of led me to that decision. Like, wow, this is really it for me. So, yeah.
And that's great, because I do feel like there is a lot of help for maybe children, but there's not a lot of help for parents
mm-hmm.
to kind of come down to to the children's level. You know what I mean? So that's great. I really
yes.
think that that's so needed. Someone said parents need all the help we can get. So true. It's so true.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. And you know
yeah.
what I didn't say just now was my own journey as a mother. I mean, I had twin babies when I was 23. I felt like that was right. You know, like, I love that that I'm on this journey, but oh my gosh, like, I did not know how to be present the way I really wanted to be. Like, I had the calling, but I didn't have the skills, and I didn't even know that this was like a thing, you know? So
yeah.
So it's really exciting to me to see so many parents with younger children, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you have such an amazing opportunity just to really to let go all of the clutter. Like, there's so much clutter that fills our culture about what we're supposed to do, and you know, all this busyness and stuff. And it's just, it's really time to come back to the basics and let life be joyful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone else said that they feel like they are the parent of their parents. In that, I think that's a really, quite a profound
mm-hmm.
thing. And I think a lot of people have felt that way before. Like, maybe their parents were not knowledgeable enough, which they don't come with a
mm-hmm.
pamphlet. They don't come with a book to say, this is what we do. Every child is different. So, you know, they were learning
yep.
as well, but I feel like we're in a place where we can do better. And that's what you're helping parents to do is kind of to say, hey, you can do better, and you have the power, and let's see what we can do to help your little one. You know, like, that's like, you're so good
yeah.
at that. I see it on your Periscope, and I see it in your Facebook, and you're doing a new class, aren't you? You're doing a new class. What is it called?
I am. Yes, I'm really excited. So I don't have a real fancy name for this class that I'm teaching, but it is free. You can sign up through my email list. It's bit.ly/momlifegonemagic. That's just kind of the combination of words that I've used, and I plan on doing a lot of things with that. But this is going to be a course that teaches a lot of the, you know, the in-the-moment skills that are necessary for conscious spiritual parenting. So we're going to talk a lot about how to navigate those really challenging moments and how to reach for the best that we can reach for within ourselves. And here's the thing. It's so funny how we always talk about how children don't come with a manual. Children don't come with a pamphlet. Like, we are the ones who need a manual. We need a manual on ourselves, which is so
yes.
funny, because, like, it's like, how do we live, right? Like, what should we do? How should we live? And
yes.
it's really, there is no one way. There, you know, it's one of the aspects of conscious parenting that I help parents really step into and learn is, like, this is a whole new language. It's really like that. It's really like learning a new language. It's going to sound a little different with each parent. Everybody's going to have like their own accent, their own, you know, like everybody's going to have their own way of expressing that and their own energy, right? Like alignment looks different for every person. But, you know, we can, it doesn't mean that, it's like, how do we hold space for that imperfection, for that messiness, but also reach for, you know, the magic of that alignment at the same time. And so that's kind of very generally speaking what this course is going to teach. So it's a lot, and there, it's a 14-day class. And so I'm going to do my very best to be as thorough, but also as unoverwhelming as possible. So that's my intention for that.
Well, I think it's going to be, I'm for one going to be joining because I think that would be so amazing. And I can't wait to learn from you. I just love, I love the vibe that you give off and the concept and the spirituality, because I feel like there's, that part is missing from a lot of parenting courses.
Yeah.
They don't add that spiritual aspect into it. So, and that's a huge part. The way I view all of us, including our children, is we are, you know, many, many parts, and spirituality is a huge part of that. And if you just cut that part out, you're going to be unbalanced.
Absolutely.
Yeah, any program is going to be unbalanced without that part of it. So I really, really like that you add that into it. And I love how you also said that the parents are the ones who need the manual, because it's so true. We have no idea how to navigate through life sometimes. We're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm still writing the pamphlet for myself, too. It's an ongoing evolution. And I'll be very upfront. Like, I mean, this is not about getting perfect. This is not about, like, let's be, you know, it's like there's definitely a shadow side to that whole, like, let's be the best version of ourselves, right? It's like if we go too far in that direction without holding space for the messiness, because that's the thing about parenting. It's like it is so deeply and profoundly ordinary, you know? It's like helping a person learn how to deal with bodily functions and how to eat, and, you know? Like, it's all of these very basic things, and it's like that we can do that in one of two ways. We can do that feeling incredibly lost and incredibly overwhelmed and feeling incredibly alone, or not. Or we can just be upfront, like, this is hard, you know, this is messy. Yeah. This, like, this is not, you know, this might not, it's okay if I thought that this is not what I thought it was going to be. And so there's that too. We've got to be willing to look at all of it in pursuit, like in service of creating the joy and coming into alignment with that. Cause there is that. But yeah, it's like, how can we explore all corners of this? So I just want to be really upfront with that. Cause I don't claim to be perfect. I don't, I hope I'm not putting that out there, that this is about perfection. And yeah, if anybody is hearing this and internalizing that, I just want you to know, like, don't do that. Don't go there. Look at that. Notice if that's what comes up for you.
Right. And someone said, no, you're super authentic. And total, you are. You're definitely super authentic and very, you know, just down to earth. And I think that's why people really connect with you, because they can sense that you're not trying to put that perfection vibe out there and say, oh, I'm better. Not at all. I don't ever get that vibe from you. So that's definitely why
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Because we do get that. We do get that stereotype of, you know, you have to be this perfect little, in this perfect little box. A lot of times you have to put this portrait of, I'm a perfect mom and I feed my kids organic, you know, and I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. You know, I think that my kids eat fairly well, but let me just tell you right now, there's days where I wake up and I'm like, you need to eat a Pop-Tart because I'm not making breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's so interesting. I've served through many of the communities out there that, like, and I will very compassionately say that that it really is what's missing from a lot of those communities. I see a lot of parents in those communities really terrified, like, to let everybody, like, they would be terrified. They would be mortified if all the other parents in that community knew that they gave their kid a Pop-Tart that morning, which is really, like, disturbing to me. And I'm like, we've got to have both. We have to, or else we are going to feel completely disconnected from each other. Connection cannot thrive when we are, you know, only showing the parts of us that we believe will be accepted and hiding the parts of us that that we're mortified will not be. And so that is, I'm really hoping, it's my, one of my deepest intentions is to hold space for, to really create a community, or really, I mean, I imagine that there are other communities out there that are trying to do this too, but I want moms to feel so deeply safe and so deeply okay and accepted. And because if we don't nurture that, it's like, what, like, how can we do this conscious parenting thing if we're not willing to be vulnerable and be imperfect and worthy? Like, you know, this is not a quest for worthiness. This is this is a deeply vulnerable process inherently. So,
wanted
to say that.
No, I'm glad you did, because I feel that a lot of times when something happens that they're, you know, a parent or a mother is ashamed to say to other people, it brings on a whole other slew of emotions that kind of like weigh them down. And it's like a downward spiral, you know? So if they're in a safe place where they feel, you know, I can share this and tell people how I authentically feel, and I can connect with other people so that it's not going to weigh me down, you know? I think that is a great, you know, idea for creating a space in a community so that parents can feel like they can connect and share with others. And that's definitely needed as
exactly.
well. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I want to ask you, about your boys. You do meditation with your children, correct?
I do. Yeah. It's like anything else. It kind of ebbs and flows. We're not super rigid about it. Like, I don't think we've actually sat down to meditate in a couple weeks, just because, you know, it's just one of those flowy things. But we go through phases. Like, sometimes we do it several nights in a row, and then other times it's like, you know, maybe it's something else, or it's just silliness or playfulness. But I do practice meditation with my children.
And is that I wanted to talk a little bit about it, because I feel that it's really helpful to children to learn how to do that for, like, you know, stress relief, anxiety, different things like that. Was it hard to start a practice with your children, or is that something you've always done with them?
You know, I didn't actually start with them until, I think, within the last year or so. And what's funny is that what really helped was connecting with people on Periscope who did meditation, because they could see, like, who was doing it. And I think that was fun for them. And so, especially when we found Anita Wing Lee, and she does, you know, meditations on Periscope, and then she launched this whole, you know, global meditation scope, and that just really felt good to them. And so, for anybody who's listening to this, it's sort of this dance between, like, what feels good to me, what do they feel guided to, and just kind of letting it be this, you know, explorative process. Because, some meditations can feel, like, very deep or very, like, almost heavy, you know? So it's really about what feels good and what feels right, so... Does that make sense? And it sounds like you found something that you and your children really love, you know?
Yeah.
With the
you inspired us, actually, because one of your boys did a meditation on Periscope, didn't he? Didn't he do a scope?
He
a little
did.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so adorable.
So cute.
Yes, and I loved it, and I showed it to my kids, and. I think that kind of connected with them, and that seeing another child around their age meditating. So they,
right.
Because the thing is, and I was reading a book, I think I told you about it. It's called Calm Kids, and it's Help Your Children Relax with Mindful Activities by Lorraine Murray. And I was reading this.
Oh my gosh.
It's a great book. You can get it online or you can get a hard copy too. But she was talking about different techniques with children, but you cannot force a child to do meditation. You know, if your child is just, they're not.
Oh God, no. Yeah.
And they don't want to,
right.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to, it's not going to be beneficial for them either. They're not going to get anything out of it. So it really has to be something.
Oh no.
They,
yeah.
Yeah. That they initiate and they want to do. So, when my son was very, very upset, I sat him down and I asked him, you know, I just asked him, I said, do you want to try a meditation and see if that helps? And if he would have said no, I would have been like, okay. And we could have tried something different, but he said yes. So we tried something really simple from that book. Yeah. And it was just a simple bubble meditation. And it tells you to imagine a color. And the color that he chose was yellow, which was really fascinating. If you know anything about chakras, yellow is like the solar plexus, your power, you know. And he you know, acknowledging his personal power. So we kind of went into like what the color means and what that chakra is. And he actually was soaking all of that information up. So I think.
Totally.
Yeah, if you can get them into a receptive state of, yeah, I'm interested, I want to try that, then they will soak it all up. But until they're receptive.
Oh, for sure.
Very much. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like if I told my children, like, we are a spiritual family and we meditate, you know, if I said that to them, they'd be like, well, okay. Like what you're saying and how you're showing up energetically are in profound contrast to each other. And it's just like, you know, it's so funny because Quinn said to me, we were on our way. We were like having one of those days where we're kind of like all over the place. And he said to me, oh my gosh, I'm totally going to have a brain fart. I'm like, no, hold on to the story. This is so good. He said something about how, like, he just called me. I can't remember what I said, but he was like, you know, Mom, like, I hear you say that. Like, it was something about, like, he was just calling me on my energy. I remember what he said now, and this is, like, the best thing I've ever heard anybody say. He was like, he said, Mommy, I feel like you think I'm a jerk right now. Or something. And I was like, oh, sweetheart. Like, you know, it just like broke my heart. I was like, oh, honey, yeah. like, sweetheart, did I say that to you? And he was like, no, you didn't say it to me. But that's how I felt like was like, that's what I was feeling with my energy. Like your energy was saying that to me. And I was like, oh, Lordy. Like, and you know,
like,
what? He was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was kind of right. Like I don't know that I necessarily had that conscious thought. I was definitely not sitting there thinking to myself like my child's being a jerk, which none of us do. But I had something going on with me where I was maybe thinking to myself like, "Oh dear God, like when it, you know, cuz they were in the back seat and they were kind of like, you know, they were being antsy and they had a drink from, what's it called, Dairy Queen, which they don't normally do, but today they did, and we were experiencing the consequences of, you know, those types of food choices, and it was like, I just was obviously, to him, in a place where I was like, oh my God, like, what is happening? And he felt that, and I was like, you know, sweetheart, you're right. And so when we validate, like when I validated him, like, you know what, sweetheart, you're right. The energy is more important than the words. So you're right.
Yes.
I want you to keep doing that. You know?
Yes.
Because how often like, do our children sense what's going on? And maybe they say something that, or like they accuse us, right, of saying something. And we're like, well, we didn't say that. I never said that. But what they're really pointing to is like, okay, there's something about what you are putting off energetically that feels this way to me. And these are the best words I can, you know, think of that match that energy. And so it's like, we have an amazing opportunity to just own it. And like, that's the best thing I could do is like, you're right, sweetheart. You know, I did have something going on with me energetically. And you know what? I'm going to clean that up. or whatever, yes. like whatever you need to say, you know?
Exactly.
It was profound.
Yes.
It was so profound.
Yes. Because we're teaching them how to act with our actions. Our words really don't mean anything unless
yeah.
our actions fall in line with them. Because they can't. They are
right.
like, so clear. They're so clear, and they can pick up on
mm-hmm.
so many things that we as adults have learned to kind of shut out or block out or ignore. You know, as children, they
yes.
are, like, totally clear on that. like,
oh, yeah.
No.
Like, you can't. But if they learn, it's like, I think they learn that it's not safe to point out the energy. Because they think, and then
yeah.
we learn, right, that that's, like, not acceptable. And it's like, oh, we shouldn't go there unless somebody has given us a reason to, right? And then
yes.
it just becomes like, oh, gosh, the messy, you know, just this messy, unnecessary social navigation, right? It's like,
yes.
just follow the energy. Just be, yeah. So it's amazing
yeah.
how we can really help them with that intuitive compass if we're willing to validate what they see and what they sense.
Yes, and that is actually something not too long ago. We were, I forget exactly what we were doing, but my children, I could tell by their energy that they did not like this person, right? They were uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really no reason, no outward reason for this to happen at all. But intuitively as mom, I could sense it. So, you know, I asked them,
yeah.
you know, asked them, are you comfortable here? And they kind of shrugged their shoulders and that was it. Like we left, there was no more discussion at that point. And on the way home, I explained to them, I said, you know, that feeling that you got, that feeling, I want
mm-hmm.
you to always remember, because you should never have a reason to leave a situation or to not be around a specific person if you have that feeling. That's your right, you know?
Yes.
And that internal
oh, that's
compass,
beautiful.
That internal feeling is something that I think a lot of us have taught and are teaching our children to cut off because maybe it's not politically correct or maybe it might hurt someone.
Right.
Feelings, but, you know, in the end, that is a intuitive, natural response, and energetically we need to
yep.
stop ignoring it and stop our, you know, quit teaching our children to ignore it too, because there's a reason they feel that way, you know? So
exactly. Yeah. We're very obsessed with being nice.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, the truth is that it's incredibly kind to be honest about, like, with ourselves, what we sense energetically. It's not about rejection. It's not about putting anybody else down. It's just saying, like, look, okay, I don't know what's going on with that person, you know, but
exactly.
that doesn't feel like they don't feel good to me. It's sort of like, think of it
yeah.
this way. Like when our children are teenagers, don't we want them to sense the energy when they're at like a really shady party or something?
Exactly.
Don't we, like, do we want them to be nice? Or do we want them to be
yeah.
like, some monkey's going on here, I'm out, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like,
yes.
We're not serving anybody, not much less ourselves, by kind of keeping up this, you know, it's just, let's just be nice, like from that inauthentic,
right.
you know, kind of BS place. Anyway. yeah.
Right. And
but you've got
and
it.
All...
I love what you said to your kids. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. And in all honesty, if you do it in a respectful way, and if you hurt their feelings,
mm-hmm.
that's really not about you. That's more about them and something going on with them that they need to work through. Because if I'm respectful and I
exactly.
say, you know, I don't feel like being here right now, or I'd rather not do that or go there, and they get upset about that, that's more about them than it is about you at that point. You
yeah,
know?
That's so true. Yeah, so we can model to them what that looks like. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm feeling something, and I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my solar plexus. I just feel like I kind of need to leave. And it doesn't
yes.
have to be like, oh, you have bad vibes or something. You know what I mean? It's like maybe
yeah.
you feel that. Like maybe something does feel that way, but we can be incredibly kind about
yes.
you know how we communicate that, and we can do that compassionately, because we know if somebody's got a bad vibe going on, it's because something's just going on with them. They're working through something. They have a problem
right.
that they probably need help solving is really all
exactly.
that's happening, or
yeah.
you know, et cetera. yeah, exactly.
Yeah, their vibe is just not messing with your vibe. It's totally okay.
Yeah,
you just go there. It's
yeah.
fine.
right.
Oh, I love
yeah. Yeah.
I love that. And now, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about with the meditation. You and your son, I believe, are going to be on Global Meditation Scope, aren't you?
Yes, he is actually going to be an official host, and he's just so excited about that. We're kind of looking at, okay, like what does he need to feel fully supported and, you know, guiding a meditation? And it's been really fun to just kind of play with that. And he's like, well, what if I just wrote it out beforehand? And I'm like, you can totally do that. Like, whatever you need to do, or maybe you want to do something that's totally different. Maybe you want to not do a guided meditation. Maybe you want to create, you know, something totally of your own. But yeah, it's been a really fun kind of creative process. And, you know, here's the thing. I did not say to him, like, this was of his own asking. I guess I just want to be clear about that. Like, I did not say to him, you know, oh, do you want to do this or something?
Right.
Like, I want to be on Periscope and, you know, I want to do this and this sounds really fun to me. And it was kind of like that. So,
awesome.
Yeah, he's like, I think he just wants to have a voice and he sees mommy, you know, doing all this stuff for my business. And it's like, oh, that feels good. Like mommy's sharing her voice. I want to do that, you know? So
exactly.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what unfolds for him.
That's so exciting. And are you going to be a host for Global Meditation Scope?
Yes, I am. I'm still holding space for what kind of meditation I'll be doing, but I think it might be something about inner child work, which is kind of what I did before, but I kind of want to do something a little different than what I did. So we'll see how that goes, but it will definitely be a meditation to support parents in some way.
Yeah. So inner child work, like as the adult and you're working with your inner child.
Yeah.
Is that what
that
is? So powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah.
No, I was clarifying for myself. Somebody else probably got it way before I did. But I love that kind of meditation because I feel like a lot of times we do not recognize our inner child, you know, and our inner child can be very wounded sometimes and we kind of just suppress that and then it ends up coming out in negative ways as a parent. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't even realize it until you look back and you're like, oh my goodness, that was totally me reacting to, you know, this happened in my past. So
absolutely
is amazing. And meditation for that is really powerful too, because I've done some before and, you know, just a simple going within and imagining yourself as your inner child and hugging them and giving them love, you know, because sometimes
oh my gosh,
our inner child doesn't get enough love or doesn't get enough recognition and time. So
indeed.
If you going within and giving that love and that attention and that time that was missing is healing it, you know? And
It is. It's incredibly beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are very powerful.
Say more about that. I love it.
Those are very powerful. And and even if you're not a parent, I just want to say this, inner child work is still super, super powerful and important because we all have an inner child, all of us.
Oh, yeah. So, we're parenting somebody, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe we all carry this, like the weight of whatever our inner child is experiencing, we carry that with us everywhere we go. And, when that stuff gets triggered, like if we learn to believe about ourselves as children that nobody listens to us and somebody like in the now doesn't listen to us, it's like it's that wound, it's that hurt that comes up all over again. And it feels like it's happening now, but it's like what's really happening is we are experiencing literally every past moment that we've felt that way or believed that about ourselves, like, and it's all coming to the surface for us to work through. So, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what roles you are playing in your adult life, it's incredibly helpful and supportive to your process and to your happiness.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And I read something the other day, and I cannot remember what book it was from, but it was talking about if we wore our scars on our skin, nobody, we would be so afraid to hug each other or touch each other for fear of hurting each other. And that's
that
when you're working with somebody energetically or when you're just talking to somebody, think about if they wore their scars on their skin. Like, you would be more careful with how you dealt with them and how you interacted with them. And that's something that made me think, you know, when I'm talking to someone and they seem like they're angry with me or they seem like they're wounded, you know, maybe I should be just a little more gentle with them in that, and not take it personally, but just kind of handle it with care and think,
This is
a passion or something that they're working through, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting. That is so beautiful that you said that, because here's the thing. We do wear our scars. Every time we get triggered and we act from that trigger, we are showing people our scars. People are showing us. Like, when they cut us off, you know, while we're driving or whatever, it's like, or they're not paying attention, like they weren't very present or whatever, you know, whatever's going on with them. That's just, like, there it is. There's somebody wearing their scars on their sleeve. And it's
exactly.
Just
and
how
some
we
people
learn
show
to
it.
Live.
Right. And some people show it in different ways. Some people are angry. Some people are just overly emotional.
Yeah.
And as parents, I mean, that's how we're portraying ourselves to our children. And that's how they're learning to deal with their own experiences, is to kind of hold those scars instead of working through them and healing them so that they don't have to keep being wounded by other people. So
exactly.
For one, think that the inner child work is super important, and then finding a conscious parenting mentor like yourself to help you work through things. I just love and the
it's
mama
really
mentor
beautiful
thing.
Amazing.
I love it. The mama mentor.
I mean, it's not like a superiority thing. It's just, it's like we all need that. Like, I think that is something that's kind of what's missing for the teenagers in our culture, because like every indigenous culture had a mentoring process once we became, you know, to that age group. And I don't know a ton about this. I'm in no way an expert on this type of information, but I know enough just to kind of see, like, oh my gosh, like, this is why, like, we are, like, here we are. We've got this model where these teenagers lack mentors.
Yes.
They lack a
yes.
guru, you know. Not,
yes.
Not, like, because they're so, you know, less than or something like that. It's just that they are going through a confusing time. They're having to learn how to navigate that transition from being immature to being mature. And that's really challenging. That's a big – that's a lot for – that each of us have to go through. And our parents cannot be our mentors. Our parents can be that safe landing for when we make mistakes and when we, you know, need that kind of parental support. But our parents cannot be our mentors. And I think that's where it sort of gets confusing. And so, like, yes, we've got the athletic coaches and we've got people like that. But I'm talking like, you know, in most of those cultures, like, especially in the past, like, if you look at hunter-gatherer, you know, type, if you look into that kind of stuff, it's a very intimate relationship. It's not just the superficial, you know, dynamic that you see, you know, in the high schools, or it's deeply intimate. It's deeply transformative. Because they kind of got it. Like, oh, wow, we need to do this to survive. Because if we don't, if we don't train these young ones, and if we don't give them a way to express and a place to put, you know, to focus the best of who they are, it's like, look what's going to happen. And it's happening in our culture.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They need to learn how to be guided back to their guidance. And we're not, we're just telling them that they're bad, or that we're just expecting them to be more mature than they are. And we're shaming them for not being mature, when it's like, we're not doing anything. We're not setting them up for success. Anyway, but that's my little spiel on that. So
no,
these are a lot of the challenges of our culture, and we need help.
Yes.
We need help. We need each other to get through this stuff.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And in looking at some of the older cultures, because I'm definitely not an expert on this subject, but
I'm not either, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah, but it's something that I love to learn about and research. And in some of the other cultures in history, they had the elders, you know what I mean? There was a huge respect for our elders, because as you grow and as you go into that stage of life, you are just a wealth of knowledge, you know? They were the mentors.
Yeah,
Yeah, they would look up to them, and they would be the mentors and teach them the ways that they had learned through their life, you know? And it's more of a, we're not so much respecting our elders anymore. I don't see that in our culture very much.
Oh, we're definitely not. And I think part of the reason for that is that I think the young ones, and I think many of us have felt like, I think for many of, and I say this with a lot of respect, I'm not advocating for not respecting the elders, but it's like, I remember when I was a teenager, seeing my parents in their unconsciousness and feeling like, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do what they're doing. That doesn't feel good to me. And so it's like, that's why there's this lack of respect, because they crave authenticity. They crave connection.
Right.
And we are not living deeply connected and authentic lives, most of us.
Yes.
Like not, I'm saying collectively, not you, not me, like maybe, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like collectively, they see that and they're like, they don't know how to feel about us because of that, because they know what they crave, even if they don't have words for it. And they see us, you know, like on autopilot, and they are like, you know, something is going off, like some kind of red flag for them, and it doesn't feel good. And they're like, well, what do I do? I'll go drink, you know, or whatever, whatever they do.
Yeah, I totally.
Or I'll work really hard sometimes, right? Like, and I'll try to get into Harvard or whatever, you know, it's like it shows up in a variety of ways, but yeah, I'm enjoying this flow of conversation.
No, I agree with that. And I see, you know, the living unconsciously, and it's sad, because I think that's why a lot of the other generation feel that they are a parent to their parents, because they see that they are living
unconsciously.
And they know that it doesn't feel right. Like that doesn't seem right. And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel right to me. I want to do better, but then they don't know how to do better, and there's no one to look up to necessarily to teach them to do better. So it's kind of like fumbling through all of this to learn, where do I go? Where's my path? Where's this? It is a interesting. It's an interesting concept. I'm so sorry. One second.
Yeah,
here.
It's interesting to notice. Yeah, no problem.
I'm having a child issue.
Oh, perfect.
Will you check on her? So, I apologize for that. But yes,
no problem.
So I did want to go over your websites before the show ends or anything. So if you guys are wanting to work with Sarah, her website is Sarah, S-A-R-A, Exley, EXLEY.com. And you can also go to the Mom Life Magic. It's bit.ly/MomLifeGoneMagic. And there is a Facebook page for that as well. So you can join and work with her for that class. And get all of her information from her other website, sarahexley.com. And also, I just want to make an announcement for the podcast. My first sponsor for the podcast, I was proud to announce, is a close friend of mine. Her name is Jessica Marie, and she is a hairstylist here in the local area. So here in the Ohio, Miamisburg, Dayton area, she is at The Green. And you can go to her website at letsdomakeupandhair.com. So, and also, if you're interested in sponsoring MetaMusings, you are welcome to email me and I can give you all the details and everything for being a sponsor for MetaMusings. So thank you for that break, Sarah, and we can get back to, I just wanted to throw all that information out there for everybody.
Yeah, how exciting to get a first sponsor. I'm really glad. Wow, awesome. So excited.
I know, I was so excited. I was like, yay.
Yeah, so, that's congratulations on that. That's really exciting. And so well, like, hello, so well deserved, too. Like, of course.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is just really fun. I love connecting with people that are just doing wonderful things in the world. And the whole purpose of this podcast is to kind of connect people, you know, kind of build bridges so that people can find different practitioners, different ideas, different thoughts. And we may not necessarily be experts on everything that we talk about here on the show, but it's kind of to engage that interest, you know what I mean? To kind of, so that you can start going through your own journey of, you know what, that is really interesting and I would like to learn more about that. So I'm going to start researching it, or I'm going to look up Sarah, or I'm going to look up this practitioner and work with them, because that's what we're here for. We're here to lift each other up so that we can build for our kids, you know, and for ourselves too. So,
You hold an amazing space for that. I think you really hold an amazing space for your listeners to be curious and to reach higher and reach farther, you know, deeper within themselves. So, thank you for, you know, for answering the call to do this podcast. It's really I just want to acknowledge you for that.
Well, thank you. And I am loving your space as well, because you hold a amazing space for safe communication between parents and the learning of how to do this whole spiritual parenting and connecting with our kids, because it's a vulnerable and scary and sometimes not so glamorous thing.
Oh my gosh, it's not glamorous at all. And you know, that is where I think it's like, yes, we are these divine beings and we have like the whole universe inside of us. And at the same time, we have this amazing humanness that just craves connection with each other and craves that safe space to be vulnerable and be like, I'm struggling. Like, you know, I just want you to know that and just feel the love, like just knowing that they're not going to be judged and we're not going to be, you know, rejected. And so, it's powerful to embrace both of those, I think. I don't know if I want to call it both ends of the spectrum. I don't know if it's a spectrum necessarily, but just all those different parts of who we are. Like, we are deeply human, but we are deeply and, you know, amazing and divine as well. So,
I totally agree. And there's something amazing to know that you can find someone or find a group that you connect with and you can share things that necessarily you would be fearful of sharing. You know what I mean? Fearful of being judged, fearful of not being the perfect mom or the perfect dad. And when you connect with a group of people that feel safe and secure, then you could share these things and you guys can come together and say, well, maybe try this. Or maybe try that, and we lift each other up as parents, you know, instead of tearing each other down all the time, because I feel like that's kind of the realm right now is where you go to school, and if your kid's not wearing a specific kind of brand, or if you're not driving a specific kind of car, you know, and they're not in these sports, you start to feel this shame, and that's, all of that is just distractions, to be honest, of what the real issues are. So learning how to get
rid of them. Yeah, we use all of these things as, you know, a way to kind of self-soothe, you know?
Yeah.
And it sort of is like, it's like that cozy security blanket. But really, it's like if we could just have the courage to kind of let go of the blanket and be like, this is who I am. And you know what? I don't know if you're going to accept me because you might have your mm-hmm. stuff get in the way, but
yes.
I'm going to be open anyway, and I'm gonna give you an opportunity to love me, especially if you've earned
yes.
it. You know, like Brené Brown yes. talks about, you know, like don't give everybody. It's like you don't have to like bare your soul to everybody, but with somebody who's earned the right, you know, it's like we can start mm-hmm. there, and hopefully
right.
that will just continue. You know, and more people will. It's like hopefully we can build this culture that's safe to be vulnerable, and it will just be a normal thing someday. But yeah, we got to start
yes.
with where we are.
Yes, yeah, and you know that was a huge step for me in being authentic and true to who I was, because I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified to even let people know
mm-hmm.
that I was interested in certain spirituality and that I liked
yeah.
meditation. Or crystals, or you know, things like that. I was like, "Oh, what will everybody think? What will people say of me?" And then I thought to myself,
yeah.
"How am I supposed to tell my children to be who they are and be happy with the things that they love when they're looking
yeah.
at me, going, 'You're totally not doing that, Mom.'
Exactly,
you're not being who you are.
Yeah, right.
So."
And it's funny, like they feel, I think they inherently feel safe to do that, but they look to us for that validation. Like, is it really safe
right.
for me to be who I am? Let's see what Mom's doing. You know, they don't
exactly.
have that conscious thought, but that's subconsciously how they learn to navigate this world that we're all in. And so
right.
it's like, it's amazing the paradigm shift here, because how long have we been holding on to this idea? Like it's about sacrifice, right? And it's about
mm-hmm.
giving up parts of who you are. And here our children are like, will you please embrace what's really important to you? Because I really want to feel safe embracing what's important to me. And I need to know
yeah.
that that's okay. And there's mm-hmm. no better way that I could learn that than by watching you do that.
Exactly. Exactly. You couldn't have said it any better. That's absolutely it. And the more that we heal ourselves, the more that we clear path for
yeah.
our child, you know, the more
oh,
healing
yeah,
that we
for
do
sure.
and we work on ourselves, the clearer the path is for our child and the more that they learn through us, because it's like every time you peel away one of those layers that you've used to cover up yourself because of fear
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, that you're afraid of or that hurts you, it's like a block, you know, you're putting these blocks unconsciously on your child because you're afraid.
Yeah.
You're afraid that it'll happen to them. So sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. And we're like, oh no, you can't wear
yeah.
that to school or no, you can't make that drawing right now because some people might not understand it, but it's like, why?
Right.
You're
mm-hmm.
fearful of what would happen, but, you're putting that fear onto your child unconsciously. And when you
right.
work through that fear, it gives them permission to be who they are too. So it's a win-win.
Exactly. Exactly. I had something like this come up the other day where one of the moms, you know, from the school, which I really, that's one area where I could totally be more vulnerable and more open about who I am. But one of the moms
yeah.
who lives in my ex-husband's neighborhood. We all kind of live in the same area, but she wanted to friend me on Facebook so that she could add me to like the local neighborhood, you know, Facebook group or something. Actually, I was the one who kind of showed interest, but she was like, well, let me just friend you. And I wanted to be like, no, like, you know, because there's all my
yes.
stuff on my Facebook page about, you know, Oracle card readings and,
yeah,
you know, like all this, like, kooky stuff that people, you know, like my ego is so deeply terrified, you know, that
yes.
people that I like or people that I want to be accepted by will look at what I'm doing and think it's totally hokey, or that like I shouldn't be a parent coach because I don't have a PhD, right? And everybody
yes.
has to be an expert. It's like you have to be an expert. You have to have the fancy letters behind your name before, or in front or whatever, before you can, I don't even know where the letters go. That's how much I don't care. But it's like,
right.
you know, I'm
it.
Afraid
yes.
that she might see that, you know, and like see
yeah.
too much too soon. But you know what? I was just like, you know what? Like, let her, I'm going to let her see it. And it's like, hello, my name is Sarah Exley. I do Oracle card readings. I am a parent coach, which is very spiritual and very deep for me. And you know
yeah.
what? Sometimes my kids eat Chick-fil-A and mac and cheese. So, like, love
you know,
it.
Like
they're all of these parts to me.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes,
I'm open. I'm willing.
That's totally me. I get really when I first started doing the podcast, I actually did not share it with a lot of people in my everyday life right away because I was afraid,
mm-hmm.
right? So then one day I was like, this is ridiculous. I am doing this. I'm just going to share it with everybody. And if they don't want to listen to it, they don't have to. And it was such a free feeling. And my kids were actually more excited about it. They ask about it, you know, and they see me doing something that I love and it makes them want to do, you know, more things that they love. And, they come up with ideas that I never would have thought of. And they're like, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. So, it's like, we can totally liberate them if we have the courage to liberate ourselves. It's so amazing. Like if there's one thing that I would want somebody to take away from this, it's what you said earlier about, you know, doing like having the courage to do the podcast and being willing to, I can't remember what else you said, but it was really amazing. And I was like, oh my God, it's like somebody's totally going to hear that. And it's going to change their lives. And yeah, that it's like our kids are not calling us away from what's important to us. They're calling us towards it powerfully.
Yes.
Like make space for that passion or for the curiosity. If you don't have a passion, that's okay. Get curious about, you know, what just would be fun? What would be like, you know, something that I haven't allowed myself to do that would feel like a guilty pleasure. That's not like a numbing pleasure, but like a real deeply fulfilling, you know, outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always tell people, I'm like, if you're feeling drawn to do something, so let's say you have always wanted to write a book or you have always wanted to play the ukulele. Not everybody in the entire world wants to play the ukulele. There's a reason that you're being drawn to do that. There's a reason that you're being drawn to write this book or do a podcast or do a TV show. It's because that is in your divine life plan, and there's a reason for it. And you owe yourself and you owe the world to follow those poles, you know? So
Exactly. It's an incredible public service.
Exactly. You're helping, you know, not only are you going to be having fun because it's something you want to do, but you're going to help somebody because it's what you should be doing.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. It's like, how many of us hear a beautiful song and it just cracks us open? And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, how dare that person not write that beautiful song? You know, like,
exactly.
How dare you let you, you know, how dare your ego get in the way, you know? So,
that's
beautiful. I love the ukulele example. That's just perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect because not everybody wants to play the ukulele.
I don't want to, but oh my gosh, if I could see somebody jamming on a ukulele, just like seeing spirit flow through them, it's like, oh my gosh, like it's amazing.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They could be playing the bongos, but if spirit's flowing through them while they're doing it, it's beautiful. It doesn't matter what it is. So, absolutely. And it can be, you know, something that you've always wanted to do, or it can be at the split second, too. You'll just be, like, walking through the store, and you're like, you know what? There's a yoga class over there. I really want to take that. Maybe you should try it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had that thought.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think we have just a minute and a half left, but I wanted to thank you so much for coming on and joining me. It's been really fun talking to you. And like I said, I feel like we have a very calm connection, and it's almost like we're sitting in the living room together just chatting like friends. So I really like
talking
with you. And I think that's what people can expect when they work with you too, is that you're very nice to connect with. So
I don't always make it comfortable, but I do my best to make it safe. And like I'll hold your hand and cry with you, but I'll also like get really angry and curse with you, you know, about something that you're processing on that end too. So it's fun. It's really fun to be with parents in this way. Not gonna lie. It's really fun.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And again, if you guys are wanting to work with her, go to sarahexley.com. You can also find her on Periscope and on Facebook.
Yes.
So connect with her if you're interested. And thank you so much for joining me, Sarah. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I enjoy talking with you. And I enjoy all of our listeners listening in because this is fun for me. So I like bringing new stuff for you guys every week. So thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Thank you, Misty. This was awesome.
You have a wonderful night.
You too, Mama. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.